Welcome to The Word on the Hills, with me, Felicity Sidnell-Reed, and my co-host, Gwyn Sheltimer. Every week at this time, we visit with a local author, introduce you to their work, get a glimpse into their lives, and what prompts them to write. And we have an opportunity to hear them read from their work.
This week, we thought you might like to know about us as writers and hosts. We are both members of the Spirit of the Hills Writers Group, which brings you this program. In our group, we currently have 33 members, which includes novelists, short story writers, poets, playwrights, as well as writers of biographies, memoirs, travel books, and journalists who write articles in other areas. We also have several editors and publishers among our number. When we heard about Northumberland 89.7 and its interest in local people, talents, and events, we thought the diversity of our group could provide some interesting encounters for listeners. Felicity, you're a writer. Tell us about what you write and how living in Northumberland County has perhaps influenced your writing.
I came to Northumberland 15 years ago from Toronto, where I taught high school. I've written poetry since I was a teenager and had a number of poems published in anthologies and online periodicals. And when my children were growing up, I also wrote several short plays for them to act with their friends. But mostly, while teaching, I produced professional writing, textbooks, and books for teachers. So I think that the life you lead and where you live does influence what you write. Since coming here, I've been researching and writing a novel about early settlers in Northumberland County.
Oh, that sounds interesting. Tell us about that novel.
It's the story of a young boy who comes to what is now Brighton Township with his father to find their land grant. It's the depths of winter, and father leaves him for several months at the new homestead with the animals they brought with him. He has to survive and take care of the animals and cope with his loneliness, and it's quite a challenge. So it's not surprising that he grows up during his adventures in the wilderness, because he's only 12 or 13. He's forced to grow up. There's a story about growing up.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds wonderful. Is it near completion?
Yes, it is. I hope it's in its very last edit.
Oh,
it's had many, many edits, but this one, I think, is the last. So
good.
Then I just have to find somebody interested in publishing it.
Well, we'd love to hear you read something today. What are you going to read for us?
Well, I'm going to read a short story today. It's called Ships in the Night. Thunder? A terrorist attack? Clutching my head, I rolled to the edge of the bed and sat up. In the sudden quiet, I could feel the night pulsing to the band on the terrace. Earlier, I'd fallen asleep to its lazy rhythms. But now, a wail of, "Harry! Harry, open the door!" and an assault on some nearby barricade defeated any hope of sleep. "Shut up," I moaned. But the racket continued. "Cut it out, will ya?" I yelled. Silence. But then she renewed her pleading. "Hey, Harry, Harry, please open the door, please." And another battery. I flung myself out of bed. In the corridor, a young woman was leaning against the door next to mine. When I appeared, she turned. Her face was pale, wet with tears. But she didn't see me, just a threat to her activities. "Sorry, sir, sorry," she said. She seemed to have lost her strength, her body unable to stay upright without support. But in her hand, she held a rock. "Listen," I growled, "if you're sorry, quit banging on that door." "I can't. You don't understand. He left the bar hours ago." Strangely, I did understand. I remembered the panic I'd felt as a young man when my girlfriend disappeared at a resort very similar to this. She'd returned, of course. It was only a spat, and after all, where would she go? We made up and were as happily married for 30 years as most people. But that incident gave her a slight edge in the power stakes all our lives. Now she's dead. And though I can hardly believe it, I'm on holiday. My son arranged it. Sitting in the sun, drinking my way through the days. "Look, if he's in there, he's just trying to frighten you. And if not, you're wasting your time. Did you fight?" "You don't understand," she repeated. "Like he might have killed himself. He often says he will." I blinked. How often do people top themselves at Caribbean resorts? I've never heard of such a thing. But perhaps it happens once a year or every month. How would I know? Not the sort of thing a resort would advertise, is it? I looked the girl over again. If I'd met her at the bar, I might think her very pretty. Long brown hair, shiny as though all those ads for shampoo were true. Though her face was swollen, I could see her eyes were large and dark, and her nose small and straight. She looked a gentle soul, in spite of, or perhaps because of the rock she still held in her hand. I wondered what her man was like. Young and pleased with himself, older and overbearing. A bully, I guess, whatever his age. All the same, I reached around the door and pulled my shirt from the hook. You're not thinking clearly. Come, we'll go to the front desk and get them to open up the room. I don't need you. I can do it. I'm not a child. I'll come, I said. It isn't kindness. I want to know for myself. I took her by her skinny arm and pushed her ahead of me down the colonnaded walkway. She twisted away from me. I wondered what she was thinking. Of course I pulled away. I knew he only meant to help, but I couldn't stand his hold on my arm. He was pushing me, and God knows, I've put up with enough of that lately. I thought Harry might relax on holiday. Some chance. It hadn't been easy to arrange, either. I'd made a big thing of Harry's illness, and finally my boss had agreed me to give me some time off, without pay. And there's Caro. Her grandparents were pleased to have her. They love her dearly, but a three-year-old takes a lot of energy. Oh, God, I hope they're all right. Harry's been chatting up everyone, especially the locals. No time for me, but what's new? I gave up on him some days ago. There's a group of women on holiday here, and somehow I got adopted. It's lovely. Always someone to talk to on the beach and sit with at the bar. Maybe I haven't paid Harry enough attention, but half the time he isn't here to pay attention to. He's either rushing about or lying in bed blaming me for everything, telling me his life isn't worth living. He's become so reckless lately, too. But it can't really be my fault, can it? I try to cheer him up, but it's his life. I don't know why I should feel responsible. Tonight he's been gone for hours, and he's taken my key. I turn to the guy. Look, I feel like an idiot. Please don't come any further. I'm sorry I troubled you. He hesitated. I don't know why, but I think I should come with you. I'll see you get your key and open the room, okay? I felt my eyes roll up in frustration, but I hadn't the energy to keep fighting. Okay, then. I guess I can't stop you. Silently, we arrived in the cavernous lobby and made our way round the humped chairs, littering the place like seals on a beach. At the front desk, two receptionists were talking to a couple of dark suits. My unwanted escort grabbed my arm again. How about you sit here for a moment while I try to get those girls to solve our problem? He shoved me into one of the plushy chairs and rushed off. Our problem? Why did I always meet guys who were determined to take over? He didn't even speak to the clerks. He listened to what the big guys were saying. He turned his back, hunched his shoulders as though to hold a secret to his chest before he said something. The group tightened as they listened. Then one of the guys glanced my way and started towards me. I pushed my young woman into a seat and hurried over in time to hear that someone attached to the resort was dead. I knew they weren't the resort's personnel as soon as I saw their holsters and their caps pulled down over their eyes. They were asking questions, but also telling the girls something. I stepped up close and said, "That lady behind me can't find her husband. He's disappeared. Any chance there could be a connection?" They looked me over. "What's the lady's name?" "I don't know. I just met her. She needed some help. Her husband's called Harry. I guess that might be Henry on a passport." They weren't impressed. I could see they were thinking I was just a nosy old bugger. But one of them pushed himself off the counter and glided across to, well, whoever she was. Grabbing a box of tissues, I followed. His deep voice rumbled, "Rum and sugar." He'd seen how pretty she was and was out to impress. Or maybe he was just kind because he asked her, "Be you Laurel Shipley?" When she nodded, he spoke gently. "I have bad news to tell you, Miss Shipley. Husband find a fight in town." I watched her swallow. There was a moment's silence. Then she whispered, "Has he been arrested?" "Nah, ma'am. Fred is dead." She was shocked, but she didn't shriek or wail. I passed her tissues as she started to cry. "What happened?" I asked. "Come on, officer. Was he mugged or what?" "I go tell the lady. Trust me. No worry about it, sir." I refused to be brushed off. "Do you know who killed him? Were there witnesses?" "Bad men flee. They shot him dead." "Why?" But the policeman had had enough of me. He waved a hand dismissively. "That's it, mum." "Sorry, ma'am. We go find these guys. But we need passports for identification. You be okay with that?" Laurel was crying quietly, but looked up. "I'll be all right. But can I take him home? I've got to leave soon." "Sure, ma'am. Body'll be sent back, but maybe take some weeks." "I can't stay," she said. "I have a job, a child." Her back straightened, her head came up. Then she rose to her feet, prepared to take on this policeman and anyone else who got in her way. The space about her expanded as she walked towards the front desk. The policeman followed meekly in her wake. I cheered her mentally as I would a daughter if I had one, but she was walking away from me. No more excuses for holding her arm. I couldn't even offer to go to the morgue for her. But why should I care? Was it just because I'll never know what really happened? Or I guess I want to know her future, how she'll manage once she gets home. But she didn't turn, even to wave goodbye, just sailed off into the night. I wondered if I should go back to the bar. Sleeping might be difficult.
Well, thanks very much, Felicity. And now we'll take a short break.